This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Thomas's Original Nooks and Crannies English Muffins.
Okay, listener, do not make the same mistake I made recently.
Okay.
I just wrote English muffins on the grocery list. My significant other went to the grocery store and bought some Thomas's Original Nooks and Crannies English Muffins. English muffins.
Yep.
I went to toast them. They did not have nooks and crannies.
No, they're too round.
And they're like flat on the inside. Yep. I didn't realize exactly how special Thomas's Original Nooks and Crannies English Muffins were until I tried to live without them.
Yep. So you know what we're talking about. But if you haven't tried them already, you've got to try Thomas's Nooks and Crannies English Muffins because they're truly like no other. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Yep. Today, we are talking about scallions.
Yeah.
I can't believe we've gotten this far without talking about scallions.
I know. I'm sure it's come up on other episodes, but I don't know.
I don't.
They're skinny. They just, like, slip through the cracks.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I feel like scallions are, though, one of those things that are in a lot of recipes. Probably everybody has used them, everybody's eaten them, and yet nobody really thinks about them. They're even less remarked upon than just regular old onions.
You know what they are? I think I've never said this word out loud before. They're unsung.
They're unsung. Indeed. They're the unsung aromatic.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we've got our episode title. We don't really do episode titles, but this is the unsung aromatic episode.
Yes.
I love scallions. They are one of the few produce items that I want to make sure I have in my fridge at all times.
Wait, really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yes.
I am famous for buying scallions. I'm famous for this. For buying scallions, using like four of them in a recipe, and then letting the rest of them slowly liquefy.
Oh, yeah. So when you arrive at the Ballard Food Mart or whatever your supermarket is called, they're like, hide the scallions.
Yeah, they're pretty much like, here comes the scallion murderer.
Exactly.
No, seriously, just last night, I pulled out of my crisper drawer a plastic bag of like three scallions that had gone all slimy.
I can't believe you're admitting this on the scallion episode.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of murdering plants.
Yes.
Years ago, I was playing Frisbee in the park with my wife and daughter.
This is adorable.
And that's the end of the story. We're just the cutest family. And my wife, Lori, threw the Frisbee and somehow managed to neatly decapitate a daffodil, like surgically, like went over and picked up the Frisbee.
Oh, I thought you were
going to
say a scallion.
Well, no. But you said murdering plants, and that's what popped to mind. And we have been ribbing her about this ever since. Like, you know, she is the butcher of daffodil country.
That is adorable.
There should be a musical about it.
Wow. Not only is she Lori Amster Burton, wife of the show.
Wife of the show.
But she's also a vicious daffodil murderer.
Uh-huh.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. So I don't know. What kind of plant am I known for murdering? It seems like everyone has an M.O. except me.
Huh. Well,
we'll get the forensic team on this.
You don't have many house plants, so maybe there are too many plants to name. Maybe you've killed them all.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, scallions. I mean, actually, so now, hold on. To get back to this fact you just told us that you pretty much always have it in the fridge.
The fact that my wife murders daffodils.
No. So is it, maybe it's because you do so much like Japanese cooking, mm-hmm. you know, Asian cooking in mm-hmm. general.
Did you know that the inside of my fridge has been likened to an Asian grocery?
Matthew.
In a national magazine.
Anyway, scallions and ginger, I think, are used in so many different Asian food preparations.
Yes.
This makes sense
yes,
to me.
Yes, certainly.
That you would need these at all times.
The thing I use them for most often is thinly sliced and used as an aromatic in a stir fry.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite aromatic to have in a stir fry.
Wow, I never think about it.
Yeah, I usually do scallions and ginger. I rarely do garlic in a stir fry. I guess we already have covered the fact that I don't like garlic as much as I should.
Yeah. Yeah. No, scallions, they bump up against garlic flavor, but mm-hmm. they stay in this onion situation, and they're different from regular onions.
They're a thing that's both mild and gutsy in their own way, sort of like celery.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man.
Celery is a very satisfying thing to
have
murder.
Have we ever
because
done a celery show?
I think we did.
Okay, because I love celery.
I'm pretty sure we ate like ants on a log or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, by the way, like we skipped over this, but I was going to accuse you of doing the thing where you asked a terrible question on the show and made people, and I had to deal with the aftermath of people answering it. But then I listened to the Tang episode, and it was me. It wasn't you.
Wait, what was the question?
So you brought up the idea of peeing in the sink, and then
yes.
I asked the listeners, like, is this a thing you've ever done? And it's running about 50-50.
Wow. Okay, cool. So if you want to know what we're talking about, check out our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. And you too can tune in for a...
you can tune into our Facebook page.
A discussion about whether or not you've ever peed in a sink.
Uh-huh. Which was brought up on the Tang episode for no good reason.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, but hold on. Scallion. Okay,
yeah.
Memory lane. Take it away.
I don't know. I'm sure they were around.
Okay. I think of my dad as being...
A scallion man.
A scallion man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like a scallion, but he had legs.
Oh,
can you imagine?
That's so cute.
I'm picturing... So recently I was watching The Muppet Show with June,
uh-huh.
and we were watching the old Gilda Radner episode where she sings some sort of song like from the Pirates of Penzance, but they've misunderstood, and they thought that she said that... So she said she needed... anyway.
She needed a stallion, but they brought her a scallion?
No, she said she needed a parrot because she thought pirates was parrots, and instead they got her a carrot.
Okay.
So anyway, she sang this with a carrot who then brought out all of his vegetable friends. And anyway, so I'm picturing my dad as a big dancing scallion,
uh-huh,
singing
cute.
And dancing with Gilda Radner.
Nice.
Right? I mean, don't we all wish we could have sung and danced with Gilda Radner?
Absolutely.
Okay, hang on now. My dad was a scallion man.
Uh-huh.
I think
there was a point to this story.
I think of him keeping scallions around for his egg salad.
Okay.
He always puts scallions in egg salad. I think of him also putting them in, you know, he always put them in potato salad. He sometimes put them in egg salad. Let me make a correction
okay.
there.
Everyone erase or cross out what Molly said about egg salad and write potato salad.
Yeah. Okay. He always put them in his potato salad. Recipe appears in A Homemade Life.
A book by Molly.
Yes. He sometimes used them in egg salad. But yeah, he would, my dad liked making things like he would make a bean salad every now and then with like canned white beans.
Sure. Like a three bean salad?
No, not even
like
a
one bean salad.
It was a one bean salad. It's a single bean.
Wow.
Anyway.
It sounds like cucina povera.
He would, good one. He would use scallions in that. He was like just really, he used scallions as a...
they're a great onion for serving raw.
Yes,
because they're mild.
I don't like to eat them raw.
I don't really either, but if I had to choose between like a raw yellow onion and a raw scallion,
yeah.
I would take the raw scallion.
Oh, big time. I mean, I can actually eat a raw scallion and not regret it, whereas a raw onion of any other type, except like Vidalia or Walla Walla Sweets or whatever, I will be tasting it for 3 days.
Oh,
afterward.
For sure. Something I just realized I didn't put on the agenda because I just thought of it is, do you think the word rapscallion is related to scallions?
I don't know. How do you use rapscallion in a sentence anyway? Is it a verb? Is it an adjective or a noun?
It's a noun. Like, don't you're being such a those kids are being rapscallions.
Is it like whippersnappers?
I think it's like whippersnappers. I think maybe a grown up can be a rap. I don't know. Maybe it's only a kid thing.
Huh.
It's like a Dennis the Menace type, I think.
Oh.
Like a lovable prankster.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Like me. This episode is brought to you by Grove.
Grove makes it easy to discover the best natural products to take care of your home and your family, and they ship them right to your door.
And they make sure you never run out of your favorites. Now, Molly, I understand you recently received a box from Grove Collaborative.
I did. So here's what's really amazing.
Okay.
I was expecting it to arrive on a Friday because, of course, I was following the tracking.
Yeah.
It arrived early.
Ooh.
It arrived on a Wednesday. I was outside gardening. The UPS guy pulls up. He gives me the box. I start unpacking it on the spot.
Like right in front of the UPS guy.
Well, I mean, I think he had driven away by that point.
Okay.
I was so excited about the variety of stuff in this box. Not only the brands that I know and love already, like Tom's, Method, but also Grove's own in-house brand.
Yeah.
Beautiful, awesome, useful, and really earth-healthy products.
And they've also got guides on their website. So if you need help with anything, like, you know, what should I get next to complement the stuff I already got, they are there for you. And if you sign up now at grove.co/spilledmilk, you will get a $30 Mrs. Meyers gift set for free with your order of $20 or more.
That's grove.co, not grove.com. grove.co/spilledmilk.
This episode is brought to you by the Splendid Table Podcast.
You know the Splendid Table.
Yeah, it's the one with our friend Francis Lamb and his mellifluous voice every week on APM, American Public Media.
I've always wanted a reason to say the word mellifluous, and I can't think of any voice or a person who deserves it more than Francis.
No, I have his voice running through my head right now, and I feel soothed all over.
Seriously, the Splendid Table. This is the show for curious cooks and eaters, and this show has been an outstanding podcast from before there were podcasts.
Yes, that's true. It's one of the first podcasts that I ever listened to. And now with Francis at the helm, it is better than ever. So download the Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so wait, your memory lane has no scallions?
I just don't remember them playing. It's not that I never ate them or they weren't around, but I don't have any specific scallion memories.
Do you have a memory of the Gilda Radner episode of The Muppet Show?
No.
Oh, God.
I did watch The Muppet Show. I mostly remember Waldorf and Statler.
Oh, my God. They're so good.
I know.
They're so good. Oh, my God.
Yes.
So this time watching The Muppet Show was like the first time that she has ever truly gotten the Swedish chef.
Oh.
At first, she was like, but I don't understand anything he's saying.
But I don't speak Swedish, Molly.
And I was like, June, that's the point. It's really funny. And so now she does an imitation of him, and she's like, orngi, borngi, borngi, borngi. And she wants to be the Swedish chef for Halloween.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she wants to be the Swedish chef when she grows up.
No, for Halloween. I've never been more proud of my child.
This is going to be the best Halloween costume
ever. She's just going to walk around like, orngi, borngi, borngi, orngi, borngi. And like throwing things behind her and
like, yeah, throwing candy.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow behind so I can catch candy.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any other ways of getting candy.
Right. Clearly not. Okay. So will you tell us a little bit about scallions? Because I think some people, I think it's easy to confuse them with spring onions.
Okay. So they're not that different. So a variety of different species and or varieties of onions can be grown as scallions, but if they bulb a little at the bottom, then they're called spring onions. Mm. And spring onions are a little stronger in flavor and like, but is it a big difference?
Isn't a spring onion like just a young onion?
But I think of a spring onion as having like long green shoots attached.
Wouldn't a young onion too? Don't they lop off the shoots?
Sure. Yes. But the shoots are tasty.
That's true. And with spring onions, we harvest them when they're still small and
yes.
The shoots are tender and we like to eat all of it.
Yes.
Yes.
But scallions are the same as green onions and this is one of those things that like, I can't think of any other examples, but like when you read something also known as, and you've never ever heard it called
yes.
that thing, bunching onions.
Bunching onions?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Yes, isn't it?
Oh my God. You're going to need 4 bunching scallions for this recipe. Oh, that's so cute.
4 bunches of bunchers.
I just love saying bunch. 4
it's
bunches
a good word.
Of bunchers
didn't,
on the bunching
didn't
table.
Didn't we go off on a tangent about words that...
Bunchy, oh, munchy, no, crunch. That was words with double consonants.
Double.
Like bubble.
Yeah, Bunchel.
Yeah, Nubble, Nubbly.
Oh, no, it's happening again.
Mrs. Cubison.
That's where it started. Yeah. So scallions, they're grown, the white and light green part is the part that doesn't get any sun because it's underground. Mm-hmm. And then the softer, greener part is the part that shoots above ground.
Mm-hmm. And so,
like a cannon.
And why is it that, do we know why the part that's underground is sweeter in general than the darker green part?
Specifically chemically, no, but like, you know, leaves that are exposed to sun, and it's all leaves, that are exposed to sun and turn green develop a variety of different chemical compounds okay. that have different flavor profiles.
And certainly they're tougher
oh, yeah.
than the lower, you know, partially buried leaves.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And often like in a recipe, which is something I kind of like the, you know, how you like use all of the scallion except for the gross part of the tip, that you'll slice the white and light green parts and put it into the recipe and then garnish with the sliced green part at the end.
Oh, I've never been told to do that.
Oh, it's so nice.
Most recipes.
It's one of the most satisfying things you can do. I put a little jot mark on my calendar every time. That is a callback to an ad that's probably running on a different episode.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I just bought some scallions to use in a salad recipe. Mm-hmm.
And I hear they got all liquidy.
Well, no, I actually bought some more scallions okay. yesterday to replace the ones that had liquefied. This recipe only calls for me to use, you know, the tender recipe. The tender mm-hmm. lower parts. I love tender.
The tender, yeah, me too.
And it doesn't say what to do with the upper parts. You know, I should save them for stock, I guess.
Sure.
Right? I mean,
put them in your frozen stock sack.
Yeah.
Do you have a frozen stock sack going?
Sometimes. Sometimes I do.
I don't remember the last time I've actually done that, but it's charming to think about doing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, other things about scallions. Oh, so I made a list of some of my favorite scallion dishes.
I love that you have favorite scallion dishes.
And one I kind of forgot. Have you done the braised scallions from All About Braising?
Yes.
We did that, like,
yeah,
wrap them in foil. Did we do that on the braising episode like 700 episodes ago?
I'm not sure, but I've definitely made okay. that recipe before.
So have you ever had cebollitas asadas?
No. Is this grilled scallions?
It is grilled scallions that are salted and sprinkled with lime juice.
And
served as a side dish for like carne asada or like for anything, any Mexican dish.
When I was in Oaxaca a few years ago, we went to this, you know, covered market that had a really famous like cooking street where you would sort of go and you would choose your meat and you would choose these scallion type things.
Maybe like they were as scallions. You go down the street, there's like a meat section.
No, it was like you go into this big warehouse type building and, uh-huh. and in the warehouse type building, which was itself like a big covered market, there was like an alleyway down the center of it. This definitely has a name. It was like the Mercado, like I want to say like...
It's the Mercado de Awesome. This sounds great.
I feel like it was a date, like the market of like the 13th of November or okay. something like that. But
that's
anyway,
almost my dad's birthday.
You go inside and there's like this central alleyway where there are all of these stalls lined with different types of meats and vegetables that you would grill, primarily these scallion type things and other, I think, I can't remember, peppers maybe. Anyway, most of the stalls are approximately the same. And there are like hawkers standing there. And uh-huh. next to each stall is also a grill.
This sounds like the greatest.
It's amazing. You choose your meat and your vegetable. They grill it for you. And then there are tables under a different part of this like huge market building where you then eat your food that they've cooked for you. But anyway, yes, I'm just remembering now that with pretty much every order, you know, they sort of steer you toward getting these grilled scallions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, man. Yeah. So delicious.
I've never been to Mexico other than like, you know, brief trip to Tijuana.
Oh, man. Well, our listeners, I'm sure many of them will know of this market in Oaxaca and are probably dying that I don't remember the exact name of it.
Someone, maybe but, even us, are going to post the name.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, go there. If any of you are in Oaxaca City, do it.
Okay. Have you had panamul?
No.
So this is a Korean banchan of like pickled Ooh. Scallions.
Okay.
Really
what are
good.
They pickled with?
Ooh. Let's take a break and find out and come back.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to say like a soy sauce, sesame oil, sugar, vinegar.
Okay.
Type of deal.
Okay. That sounds incredible.
Really good.
Is it a quick pickle?
Oh, yeah. It's a super quick pickle.
Okay. So panamul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So something I've talked about on the show before, probably, and I will link to the recipe again, is the Malaysian chicken and rice by Zach Palaccio.
Oh, is he the fatty crab
guy? He's the fatty crab.
Okay.
And this was in Fine Cooking Magazine a few years ago. And it's a rice dish where you like cook rice with chicken stock and like cook it till the bottom gets crispy with some pieces of chicken on top and the chicken juices soak into the rice. And then you serve it with like chilies and fish sauce and also scallion vinegar.
Oh my gosh, please link to this. I want to
make this. And it's so easy. You slice scallions and just put them in rice vinegar or even white vinegar. And and that's one of the condiments. And it is so good.
Oh, this sounds so good. Wow. Okay. I think that everyone in my family would like this.
Yeah, I think so. Like even if you have someone in your family who wouldn't like the sauces, it's just chicken and rice,
right.
including
what,
crispy
what
rice.
What is not to love?
Have you ever heard of calçots?
Yes, okay. I have. I remember, so in the golden age of Sever magazine,
yes.
I remember them doing a piece about Catalonia or whatever, some kind of piece in which they talked about this tradition. Go on. Will you tell us about it?
I had never heard of it until I went to the Worlds of Flavor conference in Napa Valley, California.
Like, when did you do that?
I don't know, 12 years
that
ago or something.
Doesn't sound like something you would do.
So here's the story, and now it can be told. I may have mentioned this before. The Association of Food Journalists, of which I was a member, had AFJ had this scholarship. It's like it was like $500 for like a young food journalist to, or I don't even know if you had to be, I don't remember what the qualifications were.
Yeah, because you weren't young even then.
You had to be a member for some number of years before you could apply for the scholarship. And then they just give you $500 to do some food related thing.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, this conference sounds cool. I'm going to apply for this scholarship. Nobody else applied.
Oh my God.
So I got $500 to go to the Spanish food conference in California.
Okay.
You know, Ferran Adrià was there.
Uh-huh.
Other famous Spanish guys and women were
this
there.
This does not sound like your speed.
It was very weird. And lots of like, you know, corporate food conglomerates and stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
But that was the first time I heard the word calçot, and I had no idea what they were talking about. But then we got to go to a calçotada.
Oh, okay. What's that?
Okay. So calçots are like big scallions. They're fatter than scallions you would get in an American grocery store, but they're not tough like leeks.
Okay.
So then they grill them. So it's, so the calçotada is an annual event that's held in Valls, Catalonia, which I'm definitely mispronouncing.
Valls, Catalonia.
And they grill the calçots. Then they wrap them up in newspaper to like cool and steam.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're served on terracotta tiles. And you like rip off the charred outer part and dip them in Romesco sauce.
Okay, okay.
And eat them with bread and red wine. And it's animalistic.
How was it?
It was delicious.
Yeah?
Yes.
Are they cooked enough that they're just sweet?
They are, yes. They're cooked enough that they don't have any of that like stingy raw onion flavor left. But they still got some chew to them.
And then did you have the traditional, I'm seeing here in your description.
This is from Wikipedia. We did not have this.
The roast lamb and sausage and white beans. Oh my gosh. Why do people, like, why do traditional like European cultures do things so much better than we do?
So it says, then follows a course of roasted lamb and sausage and white beans. For desserts, oranges and white kava are served.
Can I please...
Could we do this as an episode?
Can I trade in my life?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
For one in which this is celebrated in my hometown.
You mean you're going to move to Valls, Catalonia?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is so wonderful. I love this kind of thing.
What's your feeling on Catalonian separatism?
It sounds really like there's a
wow. Hot take there, Molly. Way to take a stand.
No. I mean, I was following the news. I just didn't expect to be
called upon.
On it.
Yeah, grilled on
grilled
it. I
on
get it.
It.
Like
a
calçot.
Yeah. No, Matthew, what's your take on Catalonian separatism?
I have no opinion. I don't know enough about it.
Yes, me neither.
All right. Next, quick, let's get out of this minefield. Pasta Bible pasta.
This is more comfortable territory.
I know we've talked about this before. I don't remember what episode it would have been.
Okay.
But this is a, to me, unusual pasta dish. I feel like it's very Italian in a way, but I don't really know what region of Italy it represents.
Would you tell us about it?
No.
Great.
So what you do is you melt some butter in a skillet and you put in a bunch of sliced scallions and cook them down over low heat for like 15 minutes until they start to fall apart. Then you let that cool while you boil some rigatoni or like half rigatoni, which is called mezze maniche rigatti. And then you add to the cooked down scallions an egg yolk, Parmesan cheese.
Did you know that the name of that pasta means like a half sleeve with ridges?
Yes. Great. I did, because once I Google translated it and it said average striped sleeves.
Love that.
How did you know that?
Because I know that maniche means sleeve, because I'm familiar with it from pasta.
Fashion. Oh.
No, from like pasta names. And I know that rigate means that it has like stripes or ridges. And mezze, I figured, means like middle, or I guess average, you're saying, like half or...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening to anything else you said.
Okay, so then you toss together the cooked down scallions and butter, egg yolk, parsley, Parmesan cheese, and the cooked pasta and a little pasta water, and it turns into this green, fresh-tasting sauce.
So what this reminds me of is, so when I was in college, I used to always get the Wednesday edition of the San Francisco Chronicle, which was my local newspaper, and they had a really great...
Did that have Herb Cain in it? That's the only thing I know about the San Francisco Chronicle.
I think it probably still did at that time. But anyway, it had many great food writers working for it. Michael Bauer, Janet Fletcher, I think. Janet Fletcher, so great. I remember tearing out a recipe that was from the Babbo cookbook.
This
would have been the very early 2000s, and it was called Rigatoni with Five Lilies.
I know what you're talking about.
And I'm pretty sure that it was a Ligurian recipe.
That sounds plausible.
Anyway, basically you used scallions, leeks, red onions, you know, a variety of different things from the Allium family. And you did the same thing. You sort of cooked them down slowly. Then it was thickened with egg yolk.
Okay, yeah.
And anyway, it made this wonderful, like, sweet, complex, lovely, very kind of spring-like pasta sauce.
I haven't made that in ages, and it's so good.
It's so good. And then I remember that one gets served with ricotta salata grated over the top.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I know I wrote about it on my blog like an eternity ago, and we could link to that too.
Okay, sounds good. Are you familiar with Welsh onions? I know you've eaten them in Japan, but other than that.
No, do you mean negi?
Negi, yes.
Okay.
They are apparently used in other... I only know them from Japanese food, but they look like a leek in that they're much fatter than a scallion. They might be like a calçot, for all I know, because they're like a fat, tender scallion.
Okay.
And the number one... They're used in a lot of different ways in Japanese cooking, like sliced and put on raw as a garnish, you know, used in hot pots, but the...
Have you ever tried growing them here?
Have you ever tried growing anything?
Wow, I really want to. I wonder, I'm sure somewhere online I could get like seeds for them or something like that.
You know what the only thing I've ever grown successfully was, moderately successfully, is cilantro. And like then it bolted and got seedy, and then I harvested the little coriander seeds, which was a lot of fun, and I did it one time.
Cool. Awesome. You should do that again. Good story.
So, but the way that I like negi best, and is one of the most popular ways to have them in Japan, is interspersed with pieces of chicken thigh on a skewer and grilled,
restaurant.
Which is called negima. And they get charred and super tender. And it's just one of the most perfect things.
I have eaten them with you. For me, it would be as though there weren't enough reasons to go back to Tokyo with you. This would be like right up there at the
top.
For
sure.
It is so delicious. The flavor of, I feel like scallions were really made for that kind of like hot charring grill heat.
Yeah.
I mean, they also get really sweet when they're braised, when they're exposed to wet heat. But yeah, there's something really wonderful that happens when they're exposed to this like very dry heat.
Sorry, you said exposed to wet heat. And I stopped listening to anything after
stop
that.
It. Anyway, wait a minute, Matthew. You need to read. I see that you looked up.
I forgot. Okay. So, Negi, the English term apparently is Welsh onions, although I've never heard that term outside of like something translated from Japanese. But so it says they're called Allium fistulosum. And according to Wikipedia...
Ouch, that sounds painful.
I know. Historically, the A. fistulosum was known as the cibol. In Cornwall, they are known as chibbles.
That's so cute. Oh my gosh, here we are back to our double consonant.
Yes, Mrs. Covison's chibbles.
Oh my goodness, I want to grow some chibbles.
The chubble with chibbles.
Oh my goodness, I want to put on some chub eating chibbles.
Yes, let's chub up with chibbles.
Oh man, what better way? Chub up with chibbles.
Which I guess it could be great. Like our bodybuilding show or just our cooking show.
Chub up with chibbles.
This episode was brought to you by Grove.
Grove makes it easy to discover the best natural products to take care of your home and your family, and they make sure you never run out of your favorites. Like, for instance, I got my first Grove box last week, and in it was this Method spray cleaner that I'd never used. That afternoon, I used it to clean my bathroom sink. It smelled so good. I would have never discovered it if Grove hadn't pointed it out to me.
So sign up now for Grove Collaborative at grove.co/spilledmilk, and you will get a $30 Mrs. Meyers gift set for free with your order of $20 or more.
That's grove.co, not grove.com. grove.co/spilledmilk.
Anything else about scallions?
Absolutely not.
All right. You can find us online at spilledmilkchibblecast.com, where we're going to post, Pasta Bible Pasta, Rigatoni with five lilies.
Oh, the Malaysian chicken and rice.
Wow. We are posting links to a wealth of different delicious recipes that we didn't come up with this week.
I wonder if we can find a calzotada
video
maybe, or maybe we can find one going on
like a really like sexy like smoky video with people ripping into calzots and,
great.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com.
You know, the word calzot it reminds me of culotte, which is underwear French.
Sans culotte, what does that mean?
Without pants.
Okay, what why is that a word?
I can't remember. It had to do with the revolution.
That seems odd.
Yeah.
Though we didn't talk about how calçot is spelled. It's C-A-L-C with a cedilla, O-T. Mm-hmm. Cool looking word.
Yeah.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where we're not asking you to weigh in on any weird question this week.
Definitely not.
maybe what does sans culotte mean?
Yeah, okay.
Have you ever done it?
Yeah, have you ever done it? I think that people who haven't done it are never nudes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Please leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the like.
And thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that is followed by a course of roast lamb and sausage and white beans.
Yeah, it is. I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg. When I think of something rolling, I think of heads rolling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are we calling?
Butts will roll.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.